Good afternoon to everyone. Thank you, Mr. Fay. I noticed last week they've taken down the clock over here. Very convenient to use, so I brought my own today. Hopefully I'll remember to look at that. Well, brethren, if you keep an eye on world and national news, you know that most of the news seems to be bad, at least the news that makes it to the television or the radio, and it seems to be getting worse and worse. Now, it may be that world conditions have always been equally miserable, but we just now have a world of 24/7 news to fill, and now we have around-the-clock coverage of the detailed murders, riots, and political squabbles. And it can be easy for negativity, the negativity of this world, to rub off on us. We know that on a daily basis, so we need to actively guard against that. I've been finding in my own life that I'm spending more mental energy focusing on negative rather than positive developments. Perhaps some of you have been struggling with this as well. Left unchecked, this attitude of negativity can affect our job performance, our interpersonal relationships, even our relationship with God. When we go to God in prayer, what percent of our time is focused on what we do not have rather than in thanking God for all that He has already given us? Today I'd like to address the need for focusing on the many benefits that God extends to us. So I've entitled this sermon, Count Your Blessings. Count Your Blessings. I had the privilege of growing up in the Church of God, and one of the first church hymns that I remember from the old Bible hymnal was called Count Your Blessings. It was first published in 1897 by a man named Johnson Oatman, and was sung widely throughout the world's churches, but was also included many years ago in the WCG hymnal. Now, we no longer have this song in our current UCG hymnal, so I'd like to read a few of the verses for you now. Many of you will remember the song, but some of our younger members may not be familiar with it at all. And it goes something like this. No, I'm not singing, so don't worry. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will keep singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. And there are additional verses. But as I said, hearing people sing that song is one of my very first childhood memories of the Church of God. It's an easy song to learn and a simple concept to understand. But it is more challenging on a daily basis to remember to do what the song says. Today, let's spend some time together making at least a short list of God's blessings. Now, our lists won't all be the same. That's fine. But I think actually writing down a list of God's blessings in our private lives and actively thanking God for those blessings can reinvigorate our prayer lives and strengthen our relationship with our Creator. Let's turn first to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. We'll look at verses 43 to 45. Matthew 5. At first, it may be difficult to get started on the list of God's blessings. What to put, what not to put. Does this apply only to me, or can I put things that apply to everybody? It's easy, though, to take much of what we enjoy in life for granted. Indeed, much of what we enjoy is granted by God to billions of people around the world, not just to Christians. Just because God is generous with His gifts, though, does not mean that we should not be thankful for all the blessings that He bestows. Matthew 5:43. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and on the unjust." All benefit, in other words, from blessings that God sends into this world. Even those who disobey God benefit from his gifts to the world. But the difference is that the ungodly or the ignorant take these benefits for granted and do not give thanks to the true God for them. Let's go to Luke 17, starting in verse 11. Luke 17. We know that God is generous with his benefits, but he is interested in how we react when we receive these blessings in our lives. And this is a very notable story of such an occasion, when God gives a gift and how people reacted to it. Luke 17, verse 11. "Now it happened as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off." So they had this terrible skin disease. Verse 13, "And they," notice all of them, it seems, "lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned." Now, we don't know how far they had gone, most likely out of the sight of Jesus. "But one, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God." So he came back, and he glorifies God. "And he fell down on his face at his," Jesus' feet, "giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? 9 didn't bother to return to give thanks.'" Verse 18, "Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Now, that's an interesting statement. In this case, let's look at the King James Version. I've been reading from the New King James, but let's look at the King James Version of verse 19, because I think it certainly has a much better rendering. Luke 17, verse 19 in the King James Version reads as follows, "And he said to him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole,'" which is a bit different than just being well. See, to be made whole is an added dimension. All 10, we know, were cleansed of their physical affliction, and it doesn't appear that Jesus sent it back to them. They had received the gift. But the other 9 were not made whole by the experience. Only the man who reflected on the miracle and gave glory to God was made whole by the healing, by the experience. Let's go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, we'll look at verses 8 and 9. Here the psalmist suggests that most humans do not take the time nor the effort to actively thank God for his blessings. And he finds this to be most regrettable. Psalm 107, verse 8. "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." So people need to recognize this, he's saying. People don't, and they need to focus their minds upon the wonderful works that God gives to the children of men. And certainly God's people should be at the front of the line to do that. Let's also go back to another psalm, Psalm 68. Psalm 68. We'll look at verse 19. These are the words of King David. And here King David comments on the daily blessings that God has given him. Now, we know that King David lived a life of dramatic ups and downs, if you read through the scriptures, and there are a significant number of scriptures about the life of David. He had great triumphs and endured monumental tragedies in his life. Things don't always go well. Not every day is full of only blessings. Yet in reflecting on God's goodness, David declares this in verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation, Selah. Think on this. Who loads us with benefits. Now, if there was anybody in the scriptures who could complain about some things that didn't go right, it would be David. But his mind is on the blessings that God heaps upon him every day. That's his attitude after reflecting on God's blessings. Despite all of the difficulties, the afflictions that David had endured, he understood that he worshiped a God who loaded him with benefits every day. How easy it would have been for him to mope about, resentful of all those negative events that had occurred as trials in his life. But in psalm after psalm, what do we see? We see a man bringing his troubles before God and leaving them with God to resolve on his behalf. Let's go to Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16, and we'll look at verses 16 and 17. Don't panic, we will not be taking up an offering today. Everyone's checking their calendar. But it's okay to read this on other days, just so you know. As was brought out earlier, the fall holy days are quickly approaching. We'll be here before we know it. And of course we know that on seven holy days each year, we are told to present an offering to God. And the amount that we give is not intended to be an arbitrary number of bills and coins. There's to be some planning to that. And maybe the planning starts now or earlier or all year long. Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses. So that's the minimum expectation. Of course, ladies, you're invited as well. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. That's the qualifier. What do you give? Well, this is a nice round figure. This is what I usually give. I'll give the same thing every year. 20 years ago I gave this. It was good enough then. It's good enough now. That's what I write. It balances the checkbook appropriately. But that's not what it says. There are some years where you may not be blessed as much as others. And then there are years where your blessing is abundant. You're to take that into account when you decide what to present before the Lord God. So counting one's blessings is not just a quaint idea. God expects it of his people. He says it right here. He expects us to do that because if you don't count them, you don't know what they all are. If we don't take the time to consider what God has done for us and to count all of his marvelous and gracious benefits, how are we to determine that amount that we present before him? In our remaining time, let's begin a collective list of God's blessings in our lives. And of course, you can just use that as a starting off point, perhaps for your own prayer list. But I've divided this list into three main areas, which are not in any way exhaustive. I'll bring up a few points in each. But the three areas I've chosen are, number one, physical blessings. Physical blessings. Number two, emotional blessings. And number three, spiritual blessings. And I'm sure you could come up with other categories, but we'll focus on those three. So the first area of blessings we'll consider, physical blessings. These are ones that often come to mind first, or lack thereof come to mind first. Of course, we know that, even as we heard in the announcements, that many in our congregation are challenged with health issues, the issue of aging, that it happens to all of us, apparently, starting to need different glasses for various functions. But let's begin here in Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy 26, and verse 11. As a country, the average American enjoys a much higher standing of living than do individuals in most of the world's countries. We know that. Deuteronomy 26:11. This was stated to ancient Israel, but it can apply to us today. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house. So there's this collective national blessing, but there's also your house, right? You're a part of the society. And you're to consider both the national blessings and the blessings that come upon your house. You and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. So who's ever living here, they're to consider this. Unfortunately, many Americans may take these national and personal blessings for granted. Let's look still in Deuteronomy, but let's go back to Deuteronomy 8, verses 17 and 18. Because I don't mean to imply that only members of the Church of God give thanks for blessings. Many in other groups do certainly understand that God is the source of our national blessings. Yet there are many Americans who reject all acknowledgement of God, including the idea of his very existence. And that's at the basis, I think, of some of what we heard in the sermonette. If you reject that God exists, then none of his rules need to be followed. That's the logical progression down that line. But here is a warning to Israel of what would happen if they lose their focus on God and his laws. Deuteronomy 8:17. Then you shall say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. That's God's blessing. That is a blessing directly from God. Whatever it is you do to sustain your life, your occupation, if you're still in your working years, that's a blessing from God. The skills, the talent, the abilities that he has given to you, that you use to earn your daily bread. Sometimes I think it's easier to understand the extent of our own blessings when we compare what we enjoy with the situations of those in other parts of the world. Now, here are just some statistics from a variety of websites to highlight some of the things that we may tend to take for granted living in the United States. And I am not presenting these statistics to make us feel guilty, but to remind us just how blessed we truly are, and to help us put these things on our list to thank God for. Now, there are about 7 billion people on Earth. Over 3 billion of them have less than $2.50 a day to pay for all their food, shelter, clothing, transportation, health care, and other needs. $2.50 per day. That's not a lot. Now, things may be less expensive there, but still, that's not a lot. Has God blessed you? Has God blessed me with more wealth than that? Be thankful for that. According to the United Nations, about 22,000 children around the world die each day due to the consequences of poverty, starvation, and lack of basic medical care. 22,000 children a day. About 46% of the world's 2 billion children live in poverty. Over 850 million people do not have enough food each day to meet their basic nutritional needs. Over 25% of children in developing countries are underweight or exhibit stunted growth due to malnutrition. Over 600 million people on Earth have no source of safe drinking water. And over 2 billion lack access to basic sanitation facilities. Do you like your bathroom? Give thanks. 1 million people each year die from malaria. Nearly 2 million children die each year from untreated diarrhea. Are things better off for you and your family? Be thankful. 1 billion people on Earth of school age and above are so uneducated they cannot even sign their name. Have you received at least a basic education? Be thankful. About 25% of the world's people live without electricity in their dwellings. Do you have electric lights, even if they are intermittent? Perhaps you have a computer or a television or appliances, clothes washers and dryers. Do you have a refrigerator to keep food from spoiling? Do you have central heat to keep warm in the winter, or access to air conditioning or electric fans to keep cool in the summer? If you do, be thankful. Many people on this planet could only dream of such things. Over 19 million people on Earth are classified as refugees with no country to call their own. Some 1.6 billion people live in inadequate housing that provides only minimal shelter from the elements. Over 100 million people on Earth are completely homeless. 1/4 of the people on Earth live in conditions that are considered dangerous to their health and or physical safety due to rampant disease, proximity to combat zones, ongoing civil wars, etc., etc. 1/4 of the world's population lives in a dangerous place. And I didn't even mention Chicago. If things are going better for you and your family, be thankful. Now, obviously, it's easy to list the manifold miseries of the world's less fortunate. Just a few minutes on the internet allowed me to acquire these statistics from the United Nations and other sources. We know that much of the world does not enjoy the blessings that we have been granted, and we should not take them for granted, but know they have been granted, gifted to us. My point is that we should not take this disparity for granted. God gives us good things, physical blessings to enjoy that we just get used to. Now, we don't tend to think about them, and we certainly don't tend to put them on our prayer list because they're natural to us. But they're not natural for much of the world. And we should remember to be grateful that we enjoy these things. Let's turn to Psalm 37, starting in verse 23. Now, of course, we know even within the United States, within our congregation, we have great disparity in the extent of our physical and financial blessings. And it can be easy to look around at those who have more than we do and become envious or even bitter. We can face tough times financially, such as the loss of a job or making poor financial decisions. Some people seem to have a money sense, and others of us just don't. But even if we have suffered setbacks in terms of physical blessings, God wants us to remember to keep our eyes on the big picture. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. See, God is involved in the steps we take in our life. Though he fall, right? Though we fall, he or we shall not be utterly cast down. We can trip. We can stray from the path. We can make poor choices. We can suffer. We can go through periods where we don't think about many blessings at all. But he shall not be utterly cast down, God says, or at least the psalmist relates. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Ultimately, God will bring us through physical setbacks and challenges if we remain faithful to him. But remember, bringing us through doesn't necessarily mean that things in this life will be awesome. But there's something left ahead. Let's go to the second area of blessings to consider, emotional blessings. Certainly, we could add pages and pages to the list of physical blessings, but that's something for you to do on your own, tailored to your own specific lives. Emotional blessings. Now, this is a challenging area to categorize. Many of the blessings that I will list here might also be listed under physical or spiritual blessings, because there's a lot of crossover. Here is where we would write down such blessings as family relationships, friendships, well-being, and love. Some of us have been more blessed in these areas than others. And some of us have suffered great setbacks in our families and personal relationships. But even if someone does not feel particularly blessed in terms of emotional well-being, God still expects him or her to look for the positive aspects of our life experiences in these areas. We're to focus on those, on what we have been given to enjoy, and not on what has been kept from us or which we have not encountered. Let's go to Psalm 27. You'll see we're spending a lot of time in the Psalms. Many of them are about God's blessings. Psalm 27. We'll start in verse 11. Again, another psalm of David. David, of course, has tremendous setbacks in his personal and family relationships. Yet he found ways to set aside the negative experiences and give praise to God for the positive aspects of God's promises for a better future. Psalm 27, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path, because of my enemies. So he's got enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart. Now that would have been an emotional stress. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He believed that there was more than the darkness that the days presented. He saw the light ahead. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Whatever that struggle is, that health struggle or the financial struggle, the emotional struggle, David says, be patient. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We see the same sentiments in the very famous 23rd Psalm. And I know we know it by heart, but I'd like us to turn there. Psalm 23. Words that we recall so often that we may not go through them line by line to think about what they're really saying. I know we've had messages that have focused just upon the 23rd Psalm. But let's apply it to our topic today, God's blessings. Psalm 23 of Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now that comes from an old English word that means to lack, to be without what's needed. It doesn't say you'll have everything you want. It means that you will not lack what you need. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Talk about emotional blessing. God comforts. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over, overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And, bonus, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So not are there, only are there blessings in the days of this life, but there's the blessing of life to come forever. Now David, if you look, brings up many negatives in this passage. There are lots of things going wrong in here. His soul or his life has been wearied through life's adventures, but God restores it, brings it back, revives it. He is surrounded by evil, but knowing that God is with him, he does not fear the evil. Despite all the challenges, he shall not want or lack the necessities of life. And he recognizes that God's goodness and mercy will not end with this life, this physical life, but will extend into a blessing of life forevermore. Let's go to Psalm 4. And we'll look at verses 6 through 8. Psalm 4. As we know from the news, perhaps even from our own experiences, we live in a very dangerous world. Even in the United States, in our own communities, crime and violence seems to be increasing in severity, perhaps frequency. The statistics don't always bear that out, but if you ask people their perceptions, they'll tell you that that's true. Knowing that God is looking out for us should give us a sense of safety and comfort that rises above what those in the world can experience. Psalm 4, verse 6. There are many who say, who will show us any good? You're not going to see it on most news programs. Who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart. Emotional blessing? Yes. You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season that their grain and wine increase. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. That's a blessing from God, if we can dwell in safety. And we need to keep reminding God that we're thankful for that protection, for that blessing. Of course, God does not promise that we will never be unsafe or unhealthy or victims of crime. But we have the blessing of God's confidence that nothing we suffer in this life is of permanent duration. Let's go to the New Testament, to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. We'll look at verses 12 through 15. Colossians 3. Just knowing that God is looking out for us is one of the greatest emotional blessings we can experience. The blessing of God's peace in our lives is something we need to ask for and then thank God for it when it is bestowed on us. Colossians 3:12, Paul writes here, therefore, as the elect or the chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And notice verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, we may not have noticed that before. The peace of God being in our hearts is something we need to be thankful for. It's not just something that happens by being a Christian. We have to allow it. We have to live in a way that allows God to establish that peace in us. And Paul says we should express thanks to God for that wonderful emotional blessing. Finally, let's go to the third area, the third category, spiritual blessings. Now, this could go on and on. We have limited time, so I focused on just a few, but I don't mean to shortchange any of them that might appear on your list. Let's go to Ephesians 1, verse 3. When we make our list to count our blessings, a lot of those are certainly going to be physical and emotional blessings. But we can't just list those. There are many more blessings to count in our lives, and these blessings have much more lasting consequence than the ones we've addressed so far. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 reminds us of something very significant. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We don't stumble into spiritual blessings, brethren. They are gifts of God to us, directly to his people. So what spiritual blessings should we put on our list? Let's just identify a few today. Let's go to Romans 6 and verse 23. As I said, there are many, many blessings we could list here. So we're going to focus just on some of the more significant ones. This is a very familiar verse. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is a gift. That is a blessing. The opportunity for eternal life in the presence of God. We must certainly remember to give thanks for the blessing of that knowledge, to understand the plan, the promise that God has for us, that his church has elaborated through the decades. Let's also look at 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Again, this is Paul writing. And his mind is focused on spiritual blessings. First Timothy 6, we'll look at verses 17 to 19. Paul writes to Timothy, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy, physical blessings, emotional blessings, spiritual blessings. All things he gives us richly to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come. You see, what are we doing with all these blessings that God is loading upon us? Are we just enjoying them, or are we putting them to use to make ourselves better Christians? to build that foundation for the next life. Understanding what to do with blessings is a blessing. Verse 19, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life, which is a blessing. Physical blessings will not endure forever. Spiritual blessings will. And it's a blessing to just realize that, to have opportunities to do good works to help others is also a blessing. Let's go back to Exodus. Exodus 16, we'll just look at verse 29. Just being here today shows that we are all benefiting from a marvelous blessing from God, a knowledge of His Sabbath day. And of course, we could extend that to include the holy days, God's commandments and His laws and His statutes and His judgments. But let's just think about the Sabbath day. Exodus 16:29. See, right? Look. Look at this. See, exclamation point. For the Lord has given you the Sabbath. It's a gift. It's a blessing. The Lord has given you the Sabbath. I don't know what wrapping paper you use for that, but it's got to be pretty spectacular. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. It means for your own pursuits. We think you can come to church. So the people rested on the seventh day. It was a blessing that God gave to them, or at least reminded them of. They'd been slaves in Egypt. We could add to that some physical blessings too, which again, these cross over between categories. The fact that we can worship on the Sabbath in peace is a blessing. It may not always be the case. The fact that we have a safe place to meet. The fact that we have all of the blessings that we enjoy here at this facility. The fact that we have transportation to go to meet with others on the Sabbath. And that list could be a whole separate sublist of the blessings that God gives us so that we can enjoy His Sabbath, to meet in peace and to worship Him freely in this age. Let's go to Luke 11. Luke 11, and we'll start in verse 9. Of course, as I said, there are dozens and dozens of spiritual gifts that we could list. But for the sake of time, let's focus on perhaps the greatest tool that God gives us in this category, the gift of His Holy Spirit. Luke 11, verse 9. Again, these are the words of Jesus. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, right, not being through with our sins, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? See, it's not just something we got at baptism and it's rattling around in there somewhere. We have to keep asking God to put it to use in us. We have to ask God to help us apply it to our daily situations. And if we can do that, it's a blessing. It's a perpetual blessing to have access to the Holy Spirit in making our decisions in life. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And look at verse 5. As a result of God's Holy Spirit in us, we can ask for the blessing of God's understanding and his wisdom to help us discern what we are to do in daily situations. It serves as a guide for our daily lives and actions and thoughts. But again, wisdom and understanding are blessings that come through the availability of the Holy Spirit. James recognizes this. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, please raise your hand. No, just kidding. If there's still some wisdom you need. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. God is not going to criticize us for being weak, for falling down, for stumbling. He's going to give us what we need, that blessing that we need. And it will be given to him. It will be, it says. So, brethren, as we've seen today, God showers us with an abundance of blessings every day. We must remember to beware of those blessings and actively thank God for them. Let's look at one last scripture, Psalm 40 and verse 5. Psalm 40 and verse 5. Now, you might have guessed there's one problem with counting our blessings. The calculator will give you an error message eventually. It doesn't go that high. The trouble with counting God's blessings is we can never finish the list. But the act of counting, of bringing to our mind all that God does for us on a daily basis, and over the course of our lives, in fact, keeps our minds focused on God and his goodness. Psalm 40 and verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak them, they are more than can be numbered. Well, brethren, no, God's blessings toward us can never fully be numbered. But that does not mean that we should not attempt to do that each and every day. To do exactly what the old song encourages. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy that you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will keep singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done.